Recently, we've been talking and learning about how to produce good fruits, the good fruits of the Spirit in our lives, and the freedom that comes with them, the freedom. And oh, I guess Jesus is teaching us about the power that comes with them this morning as well, the power and the authority that we have through Him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, that's right, freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there are fruits. Fruits. Jesus taught us that these things, the freedom and the fruits of the Spirit, they are evidence that someone is one of His disciples. Evidence that He is right there with them and for them. Freedom and fruit should be clearly evident in the life of every believer in ever-increasing measures. Woo, we can step into them. And when we step up into the, it's just like a staircase. And then once you step up into one level, there's an invitation always for more. Always an invitation for more in the kingdom of God. Always an invitation for greater things. We're going from glory to glory, right? Ever-increasing measures. Today, God is reminding us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, right? There's a purpose for everything under heaven. You know, recently, I was wondering what in the world the purpose is for hornets. I don't see anything good about them, but, you know, I guess there's something good in them. I looked it up and I didn't care about the answer, so I'm not going to share it. But there is a purpose in everything that God does. God is a God of intent and purpose. He doesn't accidentally ever do anything. You know, there is a purpose behind everything that He personally says, everything that He personally does. And sometimes what I struggle with is that there is a purpose that God has for everything that He permits into your life as well. I mean, take a look at a guy named Job. God didn't just permit the devil to take everything but his life. He said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? You know, that God had a purpose even through that season of torment and pain and torture. And God is good. What do you do in the end of it? I just like to get to the last chapter because that gives me hope that there's a last chapter for me as well. He doubly restored everything that had been taken from him. Double. But in God, there's no surprises. He's never surprised by anything. No accidents. He never accidentally does anything. There's nothing unforeseen. There's no oops or oopsie-daisies, you know. There just isn't. There isn't in God. This means that God has a purpose in the freedom that He gives to us as believers. And there's also a purpose for the fruits that He causes to grow in our lives. And that's what we're going to learn about this morning. There's a purpose for those things. So what are the purpose? Well, Lisa taught us last week, and awesome service, by the way, about the true freedom that we experience through Christ. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And that's a powerful component of Lynn's testimony. It's so easy. When something comes our way, we fret and we get all panicked and worried and what am I going to do? And God's pretty much reminding us to stand firm. Stand with Him. Stand with His Word, His promises. Sometimes in the battle, that's all that we've been called to do. Remember from Ephesians chapter 6? And when all else happens and everything that you've done, we're just called to stand. Just to stand. Paul goes on and he reminds us the purpose for this freedom that Christ has given us in verse 13 to 15. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You guys were called to be free. In fact, the only thing that can enslave you in Christ is the thing that you choose to submit to. Ouch, I know, that hurts me too. If you get enslaved by something, it's because you're choosing to be enslaved by it. Like Lisa had shared, you walk right back in that prison cell and put the chains right back on yourself, and that means you've got the authority and the power to walk right back out of there too, right? But don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Isn't that what we have a tendency to do? Rather, we're supposed to use our freedom to serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And Lisa shared this last week. Love your neighbors yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out. You will be destroyed by each other. Gotta be careful with our words. Biting and devouring brings destruction. So yes, we personally benefit from freedom. We do. The freedom that we experience through Jesus, however, the ultimate purpose behind our freedom is not for ourselves, but for others. But for others. The purpose for our freedom is not for selfish purposes, but for selfless ones. We were set free that we might be able to serve, to choose to humbly serve other people. That's why we've been set free from our sins and our shame and our condemnation and everything else that Jesus sets us free from. We've been set free that we might fulfill the entire law of God, which is simply by loving others through action. We are set free not to tear down other people, but to build them up. Our freedom benefits us, but like all things in God's kingdom, whatever God gives to us, it benefits everyone around us too. Now that we are free, we can choose not to sin against people around us. We can choose to love them. We can choose to bless them, even our enemies. You couldn't do that before Jesus, but now you can. Now that we are free, we can show others that there is a path for freedom in their lives as well. We can invite them into that same freedom for themselves. Now that we are free, we can take that Holy Spirit pause, and we can choose to respond instead of react, right? We can do that. We are no longer captive, so don't let yourself get pulled back in again to captivity, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 to 26, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Okay, when you argue, you both lose. Let me just share that ending with you. Man, do I have to remind myself of this often, you know? That argument's not going to get anywhere. Proving one person right, one person wrong is not going to get you anywhere because the person's not going to believe it even if you do prove them right, right? All they do is produce quarrels. And, in verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. Everyone. Must be kind to everyone. You weren't very lovable at one point in your life either, but God still chose to love you. Must be able to teach. We're all called to teach in one degree or another. And must not be resentful. Opponents, because you will face opponents in this lifetime. People that just got something against you, and it's probably not you, it's probably Jesus who is in you that they have something against. But those who oppose you, they must be gently instructed. Instructed, not fought with, not argued. You can't argue someone in the kingdom of heaven. It just doesn't work. Gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they will come to their senses. And here's what we really need to understand, and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Ephesians 6 reminds us where the battle truly lies, right? You're not fighting with that person. You're fighting with the person who's holding them captive, the devil himself. We are set free to serve. We are set free to be kind. We are set free to love everyone. We are set free to free others. We are set free to truly live life to its fullest potential. We are set free to be, well, fruity, right? Free to be fruity. Similar to freedom, the purpose that God has for the fruits of the Holy Spirit are not just for us, they are for those around us. Now, this is easy to see with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you're given a gift of the Holy Spirit to bring healing, to give prophetic words, to, you know, administer, or whatever the case might be. You can't use the gifts of the Spirit for yourself. You have to use them for others, to serve others. That's the entire purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to serve other people. That's easy to see. Gifts are given. Yes, we can develop them. We can be trained in them. That's what church is for, you know? make mistakes using the gifts of the Spirit here in the safety and context of your church family, you know? Give a prophetic word that's way off and wrong. That's fine. We'll teach and instruct and correct, and that's what we're here to do, to train and equip each other. Gifts are given as an expression, as a form of God's grace. But the fruits of the Spirit function a bit differently. In fact, the gifts that God gives are irrevocable. People are given gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they can use them to do some really crazy, weird, wacko, out there, un-Christ-like things, because it's a gift. When I'm given a gift of a hammer, I can use it to build something, or I can use it to destroy something, right? It's a gift. You can use it. But the fruits of the Holy Spirit function differently from the gifts. Gifts are given, but fruits are grown. Fruits are grown. They take time. They take growth. They take maturity long before the fruits are actually ever realized. Unlike the gifts of the Spirit, we benefit from the fruits of the Spirit as well as those around us, right? When I have peace, sorry, when I have kindness, when I have gentleness, instead of flying off into a fit of rage, everybody benefits, right? I don't know, maybe you guys have never seen me in a fit of rage. I don't think many of you have. Becky and Nate have, and it's not the prettiest thing. It doesn't happen very often, praise be to God, but it happens. But when you're given those fruits, you know, we all benefit. Thank you. Speaking of benefits, I got a wife with benefits. She didn't get anyone else a cup of water. All right. Anyways. The fruits of the Spirit are produced as a result of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. They are fruits of the Spirit. They are not fruits of me. They are just a work of the Holy Spirit. The very first step in a fruit's journey, when you think about it in the natural, and the parallels exist in the spiritual, is a seed's death. That's where a fruit starts. It starts with a seed's death. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And Jesus said this about us. It's only when, if we want to find our lives, we need to lose them, right? It's only when we lay our lives down, dying to self, that the Holy Spirit can resurrect us into the new life that he purposed us for. A brand new creation. That can only happen when we choose to surrender our lives through death to self. And it is then through hardship and opposition that the most change happens. And all that change that happens is unseen. Right? Whenever you put a seed in the ground and you cover it up, you don't see anything happening for a very long time. But we know something's happening, right? That seed sprouts. Literally, it comes out of its shell. And what it starts to do through opposition and all of these hardships is that it begins to develop a root system. And all this is happening under the ground, unseen. And if you ever see this happen, like a root coming through your drain pipes or your basement, those roots are powerful. It is crazy, nasty what those things can do. You realize that a tree is a living thing when you see its roots, and it just sprawls out everywhere, as far and wide as it can. Like our lives, it is a transformation that happens from the inside out when a seed comes to life. It's all from inside that seed. It's a transformation from the inside out. It is not put on religion. It is true transformation. True transformation. From that single seed, a brand new life is birthed. And it grows, and it matures, and it develops. And that happens long before any fruit is ever seen. But then finally, eventually, over time, and none of us want to hear those words, right? Patience. That's the irony of patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and you got to be patient for it to grow, but you just, you know, if you keep digging that seed up, it's never going to grow. It's never going to bear fruit. You got to just leave it go. trust God. Trust God's process. That's the hardest thing to do in life sometimes. Be still and just know God. Just be still and know it is God. Let him fight your battles. Let him go before you. Let him be your rear guard. Just let God be God in your life. But good fruit, once it finally grows and matures and develops, fruit is full of seeds. And every one of those seeds, if it falls to the ground in death, can start that process right over again. Multiplication. In the same way that pressure and opposition causes a seed to burst forth in new life, pressure and opposition reveals fruit in our lives as well. In fact, if you find yourself in the same situation over and over and over again, and here I am, you know, God might be trying to grow something in your life. He might be trying to develop something. He actually wants to do something good in your life. He's not trying to make you miserable. Okay, I promise you, he's not trying to make you miserable. He's trying to grow and mature and develop you through it. And the faster you let that process happen, the faster you can move on from it to the next one. But think about this. Anybody can have peace. When you got blue skies and sunny days and you're just chilling underneath a shade tree, listening to the birds singing away, just happy to be alive, right? Anybody can have peace when things are peaceful around them. When there's peace around, it's easy to have peace within. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. What reveals true kingdom peace that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit is when our lives, in our lives, whenever we are taking a nap in the middle of a storm, right? In the middle of a sinking boat that is far from shore, in the middle of a storm. That's peace. That is peace. Obviously, that peace is not being sourced from anything around you. There is nothing around you that is going to cause you to be at peace. There's everything around you that is going to cause you to panic. We're going to die. It's going to happen, right? That's the kind of Spirit-sourced peace that has the power to change the things around us, though. Fruits of the Spirit are Spirit-empowered. We don't give fruits enough credit in our lives. This is why they are grown and matured and developed. Fruit of the Spirit is Spirit-powered. Who would have ever thought that fruits could destroy the works of the devil? But they can. They do. That's what they do, actually. Fruit is a weapon. We read all about this encounter, and most of you are familiar with it, from Mark chapter 35, verse 41. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, he just finished teaching and preaching and talking to the crowds, he said, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. I don't know why I kept praying and praying and praying this week. The Spirit did not reveal why that phrase is in there, but there is something to this phrase. They took Jesus just as he was to the other side. There's no preparation, no whatever, you know, like just as he was in the boat. So they plopped Jesus on the boat. There were also other boats with him. What's that? There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, ready to sink. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you even care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Peace, be still. Peace. Be still. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? I think Jesus had a whole lot of peace in the situation. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were still terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. they still weren't quite getting it there, you know. They had that same power and authority, and they later came to realize it after the day of Pentecost. Now that's a peace that can only come from the Holy Spirit within. That is the kind of peace that can transform things around us, not only ourselves. That's the kind of peace that those around us will take note of. Everybody's going to notice that. We're sinking, we're drowning, we're going to die, and yet here's this weirdo freak that's just sleeping. Nah. He was the only one with any sense. He was the only one with a relationship with his father who didn't have to get all worried and anxious when everybody else was chicken-littling all around them, because he knew who his father was. He knew he had power and authority over all things. If he was letting him go through the storm, well, he was just going to speak to that storm and see it dissipate. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 through 7 says, "Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Because remember, the Lord is coming soon." You can amen that. Yeah. So don't worry about anything. What are we called to worry about? Absolutely nothing. Jesus said it in Matthew 6. Here we are again in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Why do we only pray about problems? We're supposed to pray about everything. That's called being led by the Spirit, which is what produces the fruits of the Spirit. Pray about everything. Pray about the things that are going good. Pray about the things that are just mediocre. Pray about the things that are going bad. Why do we only pray when there's problems? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has already done. This is in the New Living Translation. I love that. Pray for what you need and also thank Him for everything He's already done. Then, so you see this if-then statement? If you do these things, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything and anything that we can ever understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Peace. It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? I mean, which comes first, the peace or the sound mind or the... You need peace to have a sound mind, and you need a sound mind to have peace. And so that's why you can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. It is a peace that comes from the Spirit of God, not from you. A peace that surpasses all understanding because it's not found anywhere but in the presence of God. It just doesn't make any earthly sense because it's heavenly. It is unnatural. Because it is supernatural. There's power in the fruits of the Spirit. But it is through pressure and opposition that anointing flows. We wouldn't have anointing oil if it were not for the pressing and the crushing of olives, so that the rich oils that is found within them flows out from them. Sometimes, the Holy Spirit within us and the fruits that the Holy Spirit is working to develop reveal themselves most clearly when, as 2 Corinthians tells us, when we are pressed on every side, but not crushed. When we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. When we're confused, but we're not discouraged. When we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. You guys know the last one? Struck down? We are. There's a song about this. It's getting kind of quiet in here. Blessed beyond the curse. First promise. Okay, anyway. There's a good purpose behind the pressure and the pain that you may be experiencing in life. We want deliverance. God wants growth. Oh, ouch. Ugh. We want delivered from it, and that's all we're crying out for. And God's like, no. I have a purpose for this season. Okay, I got a purpose for this season. Grow through it. Grow through what you go through. We want the anointing of God. Well, hello, these are the circumstances that produce it. We want signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, hello, here's an impossibility. You know, here you go. Here's another miserable coworker, you know. There's a chance for the power of God to flow. And here you are. There is a purpose for it all. Sometimes God just wants to reveal what is within us. It kind of reminds me, I was going to get everybody one, but then I forgot to go shop yesterday. Have you ever seen those kids' toys that they make? They're like squishy, and it just looks like a ball of goo, but when you squeeze it really hard, like there's little toys inside of it, like a little dolphin and teddy bear and, you know, those kind of things. That's kind of what God is doing with you. There are, my goodness, think about what is inside of you. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is inside of you. And sometimes what it takes to reveal that to others and to ourselves is pressure and squeezing. They call them stress balls for a reason, right? God's putting you under stress, and he's not trying to kill you or destroy you. He's trying to reveal there is something great in you. Let it out. Let it out. Let it be revealed. There's something inside of you that is just being pushed and forced to the surface, and you can't see it until that pressure is on. God isn't trying to destroy you. He's revealing his strength through our weakness. That's so easy to quote, and we love saying it, but man, is it tough when you just can't. I just can't. I'm at the end of me, and there's nothing I can do, but there's God. He is able. He is revealing his joy to replace our grief. He is revealing his gentleness to replace our rage. He is revealing his kindness to replace our irritability. He is providing his faithfulness to replace our instability. He is providing his goodness to replace our bitterness. He is providing his self-control to replace our reactions, right? Jesus in us is what is happening. Jesus in us is being revealed through us, just like that stress toy. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. This is the purpose of the fruits of the Spirit, to reveal Christ in us and through us. To reveal that you're not your own. You were bought with a price. And you are not alone. The same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the grave lives in you. When the pressure is on, what is within us gets revealed. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes what gets revealed is a little flesh that still needs to be crucified, right? I don't want to focus on the negative stuff this morning, but sometimes God will apply pressure to show that there's still some nasty stuff in there that needs let out, right? When you step on a skunk, you know, you're just causing a skunk to be a skunk, and you're revealing what is inside of those sacks, and it's nasty, right, you know? You're just revealing it. You didn't cause it to stink. You just revealed the stink. But what do? When people step on us, you made me stink. No, that stink is in you. It just got let out, right? Come on. When the pressure is on, sometimes God reveals the bad stuff so that we can deal with that. He wants us to crucify it. Just give it to him. He'll take it. But what he really wants to reveal is the good stuff in us. Himself within us. Because those are indisputable evidences that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is right here. They are the practical attributes that show the world around us that it's not us, it is Christ in me. It's nothing good of my own, it's only what Jesus has done. When they see us in life circumstances that would crush and crumble them, and yet somehow we're like, God's got this. I have no idea what he's going to do. I'm confused. I'm not happy about it, but God's got this. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. You know, that's when people see there's something different about you. And that's when people ask the reason for the hope that is within you. When you're under the same crushing life troubles and circumstances, but you respond differently. It's because there's something different in you. And they're going to want it too. None of us are perfect. You're never going to react perfectly every single time. I don't want the enemy to condemn you and to make you think that just because you fly off the handle, you're not a Christian and you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. But, every day, every week, every month, every year, you should be able to look back on your life and see some area of growth as you're growing and maturing and developing. Because as you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, we're naturally going to produce the fruits of the Spirit in an increasing measure. You should be able to find that, you know what, if I had been in the same situation last year, I'd have lost my mind. But now, I'm not really all that worked up. I know God's got this. You know, you should see some growth and maturity and some developing happening in your life. And let's be honest, all of us prefer spending time around people who possess the fruits of the Spirit. They're just cooler people to hang around. We'd rather be around someone who genuinely loves and cares about other people than somebody who is just constantly gossiping and complaining and tearing people down. Because it makes you wonder, what do they say about me whenever I'm not around, right? You don't want to be around people like that. We'd rather be around a joyful person who makes us laugh than a grouch that just grumbles all the time. We'd rather be around a peaceful person than someone that is always trying to just stir up strife and drama. We'd rather be around somebody who is good rather than somebody who is always trying to manipulate people and us as well. We'd rather be around a faithful person than somebody that says something and you can't trust that they're going to do what they say, right? That they rarely follow through with what they tell you they're going to do. You don't want to be around people like that. And guess what you really want? What you really are hungry for are fruits of the Holy Spirit. You want them. You were innately created for them. You were purposed for the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit naturally lead us into unity. We want to be together more. We want our lives to be joined together in a deeper level. You know, we want to build on that. The fruits of the flesh naturally lead to division. Naturally lead to division. We were created and purposed to house God's presence in our lives, to possess the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But sin just went and messed the whole thing up. But praise be to Jesus, right? He took it all on himself. All of our sin, he made it possible for us to be made righteous by his righteousness so that we can be temples of the Holy Spirit, so that we can produce good fruits, so that rivers of living water can flow through us. We're now branches that are grafted back into the life-giving vine, Christ Jesus himself, so that we can finally be resurrected and transformed into the life that we were always created to live. We're now finally set free to bear fruits that we were always destined to bear. And we're going to close with just this reminder. God's purpose for the freedom of the Spirit, for the gifts of the Spirit, for the fruits of the Spirit, they are so that we might reveal and represent Jesus to those who don't know him around us. We find this reminder in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. The end of all things is near, right? Ah! The end is near! The end is near! It's not how we're supposed to respond when the end is near. Be alert. Be of sober mind so that you may pray. Remember what we read about earlier? The peace of God guards our hearts and our minds so that we may pray. Oh, Pete, he must have hung out with Paul a couple of times because, I don't know, they're sharing the same thing. Or I would say more so because they weren't really best buds. They didn't really like each other that much. It was the same Spirit who was giving them the words to say. Yeah. Therefore, be alert of sober minds that you may pray. Above all, love, which be of sober mind. I love how sober is used so often throughout the scriptures when we're dealing with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because one thing that'll cause the fruits of the flesh to be revealed more than anything else is just getting wasted. Whenever your inhibitions are gone and it's nothing but flesh left behind, right? Bad things can happen in that case. So just be of sober mind, so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Why do we always want to point out other people's sins? Why do we always want to point fingers and make everyone else look bad? We're supposed to love, which covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. And we're serving others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are. All you're doing is extending God's grace into someone's life when you humbly serve them in love. It's a cool thing to think about. You got a big old reservoir of grace, and you just get to take it and give it. Like, you know, grace for you, grace for you, grace for you, grace for you. You just get to be grace slingers out there instead of mudslingers, you know? It's fun. You see somebody in a really miserable, bitter mood, do something to serve them and see if it turns it around. Like, hey, grace! I don't know. It's just my imagination. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And amen, right? All right, so let's pray. So Jesus, we just thank you for this revelation this morning. And Lord, we know we can't do this on our own. We're not fooling ourselves. We know we need you desperately. Holy Spirit, we want your fruits. Help us to see them as weapons formed against the enemy. Help us to free the captives that are held by him with your grace, with your gifts, with your fruits, Lord. I don't want to be a miserable, bitter person anymore, Lord. I want joy. I want peace. I want to be a kind and gentle and good person, Lord. I want self-control, but I just can't. So Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Let your will be done and let your kingdom come in my life. And let other people see what you're doing. And please, Lord, do it in their life as well. In your name, amen. Amen. Be blessed and be free.